And I can see the ground now, I'm way too gone, way too gone. All right, legends. Welcome back, dude, to yet another episode of Get Around Me. What a time it is to be alive, truly. Okay? Bit of admin off the rip. First ever live episode of Get Around Me, Sydney, December 2nd. It's going to be a lock-in. Whatever happens in the room stays in the room, etc. It's going to be so sick. That's filling up. Tickets for that are available at the link in my Instagram bio. Sydney, December 2nd, first ever live pod. Get around it, dude. Get around me. You know, I've waited 209 episodes to say, guys, it's time to get around me, okay? But hope to see you there. Tickets at my Instagram bio. You know, I like to traditionally come out the gate with a lot of energy, often remarking what a time it is to be alive. You know, that sort of optimism off the rip is something you don't see a lot in the podcasting world. But today, I must be candid, I'm hungover. I've been clipped up by Tuesday of all days of the week. You want to really torpedo your week, go out on a Tuesday night. You know, get clipped up by one of the true background characters of the 7 days. And it's humbling, dude. It is absolutely humbling because you're on the wrong side of Wednesday. You know what I mean? I'm on the wrong side of the hump. Now I'm looking at Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, dude. I simply just can't be bothered, you know? And you go out on a Thursday night, that's Friday Junior. You know what I mean? You can absolutely roll through Friday with one eye open. No one gives a fuck. But you get clipped up by Tuesday, and then all of a sudden Wednesday's there to teach you a lesson with Thursday and Friday over each shoulder saying, mate, all three of us are about to absolutely put you through the washing machine. You know? You thought the fucking rules didn't apply to you? You thought you could just whatever, Tuesday, Saturday, who gives a shit? I'll tell you who gives a shit, dude, Wednesday. Wednesday's watching you like a fucking hawk. So I've disrespected the hump day of the week and I'm simply paying for it. Whether this episode we're about to sort of experience together will be any good, I mean, you know, my tips are traditionally quite poor, but I wouldn't bet on it, okay? So let's run through this. I've actually got a pretty ripping episode to come and I hope I can muster some sort of energy to push this thing over the line. But, dude, so last night I went to a country music concert last night on a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, there's no rules in my life. And it was fantastic, dude. Country music, I don't know why, a lot of people hate it. But it was great. Every one song would be like, let's just get hammered and blaze. And then the next song would be about heartbreak. And it's like, dude, they're all my favorite things to do. You know what I mean? Dude, country music, it's like either one song, they're just like, dude, I found the love of my life. Let's get into the whiskey. And then the next song, they're like, oh God, she's gone. Let's get into the whiskey. And, you know, country music, it's got two gears, much like myself, and it was an absolute pleasure. You know, country music, I always feel like you always have almost defending it in a way. You know, you want to hear a gay slur in 2022, tell a bunch of men unprompted that you enjoy country music. And I reckon you'll see a couple of gay slurs down the pipeline like it's fucking 2012, you know? It's wild out there, the attitude surrounding one of the world's most popular music genres. But country music, it's relatable, okay? When you're watching, like, I like rap, I love rap, hip-hop, etc., okay? But the thing with rap sometimes is you're watching a music video, Lil Wayne's got like 17 chicks, and he's doing like bags with Drake, you know what I mean? And like Nicki Minaj is bouncing around everywhere. It's like, this is great for Wayne. I wish him the best. But it's not really something I can relate to in my life. Whereas country music, they're just like, get drunk and hook up with like a mousy 7 out of 10. It's like, dude, I can do that. You know? Like, that's achievable. You know, tell the girl next door you like her. It's like, yeah, I can do that. What I can't do is surround myself with 17 tens and do cocaine with Drake. I've tried before, okay? I've tried before. So all you can do is your best. And I think country music allows that. You know, there's no bling in country music. 40K of diamonds. Nah, just chuck on a flanno. That'll do. So real great concert. I'll crack into it a bit later during the yarns. But yeah, country music's great, dude. Also, there was a few chicks at the gig wearing cowboy boots. Now, I don't know what it says about me growing up in the ivory tower of the Northern Beaches. You know, I'm a city slicker through and through. I did one day on a job site and I was not asked back after I shattered a bloke's thumb while gyp rocking. I'm sure I've told that story before. But you know, there's nothing really country about me apart from one time I patted a horse. So, but what I will say is you have a pretty attractive woman walk past me in cowboy boots. I'm all about that, dude. I am all about that. Okay. I don't know if there's like country blokes out there going, fuck, I just froth on like city chicks in Louis Vuitton gear. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a grass is greener thing. I don't know what it is, but you put some cowboy boots on a chick with a fringe and a nose ring and you've got yourself a devout Billy Darcy. I'll say that. So it was great vibes. Crack into it later. Also, exciting news for the pod this week. We have our second ever sponsor. I've simply gone corporate. I don't know what to tell you. I should have put on a blazer, you know. I've secured the bag, as the kids say. And it's exciting times. Our first ever sponsor was VM Apparel and a now defunct party shirt company my mates were running. I did ads for VM Apparel for about 2 months and my payment for all of the ads was one poorly made party shirt. Okay? What I will say about VM Apparel is that the shirts were of poor quality and I'm glad that company failed. Okay? But yeah, look, obviously it clearly is cheaper to make shirts in Bali, but I would suggest there's a reason for that. You know, I mean, I think my shirt disintegrated on me one day after a stiff breeze picked up at the pub. So, you know, happy to see the back of VM Apparel and we're moving forward with new corporate partners here on the pod. Very, very exciting. We got live episodes. We got corporate sponsors. I mean, if I get a fucking girlfriend this summer, this pod could become anything, you know? There could just be a huge rebrand on out of nowhere. It might turn into like fucking whatever Abby Chatfield's podcast is called. You know, I'll just be coming off the rip. I'll have my own line of vibrators or some shit. Who knows what's happening at Get Around Me? I'm merely a passenger. Okay? It's a fucking well-held conspiracy that I have anything to do with this podcast. Billy Darcy edits this thing and he hands me the topics each week. Apart from that, I'm very loosely associated with Get Around Me. Okay, so, you know, just like you guys, I am looking forward to the future with renewed optimism, okay? As my head is absolutely banging on this Wednesday morning. Okay, so let's crack in to the yarns from the week that was. I spent yet another weekend in the Steel City with the lads. Very on brand. Very on brand. I fucking love Newcastle, dude. Newcastle, it's just the city of the future, okay? It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. The women, the beaches, the arts, the pubs, I love everything about Newcastle. The women in Newcastle are kind of like Northern Beaches girls, but like with a bit more mongrel in them. You know, it's like if a good-looking girl in Manly had like terrible parents. That's kind of the vibe in Newcastle, and I'm into it. But love Newcastle. Went up there with all the lads, Freddie McManus, Pat Doherty, Rowan Arneal, George Pettifer, Joe Antar, all my boys, all my beautiful comedy boys. And we played Newcastle Comedy Club over the weekend and just had the sickest time. It was like kind of a holiday, but we're also doing spots. So, you know, best of both worlds, etc. Off the rip, Rowan just completely fucked the trip. This guy... So we're picking Freddie up at Wurrunga train station, okay? Now, if you're not familiar with Sydney, you don't have to be, okay? Rowan drives us to Willoughby train station. Now, if you are familiar with Sydney, you'll know that Willoughby doesn't even have a fucking train station. So Rowan's got his W's mixed up, driven us to Willoughby, which is about 45 minutes in the opposite direction from Wurrunga, and we ended up being like an hour late to pick up Freddie. It took us 3.5 hours to get to Newcastle because the Willoughby detour caused us to fall into, you know, the peak hour traffic. And it was a fucking nightmare, dude. Terrible trip up. But we got there eventually, and it was just, there was a lot going on. Freddie was wearing a Canberra Raiders jersey. Within 2 minutes of us being in Newcastle, the bloke at the bottle shop was like, mate, I shouldn't even serve you wearing that thing. And then another guy, as we're walking back to the Airbnb, like was beeping at Freddie being like, fuck you, you Canberra dog. Which I love, to be honest. I love like a real tribal city. So, you know, the Knights, it's nice as well because the Knights aren't really a very good team. So it's like, oh, yeah, I'm happy to be threatened by these people knowing that they're not really a premiership threat. You know, let them have their little moment of superiority. I'm a Souths fan. Over the last 5 years, we've performed significantly better than the Knights. So I was happy to sort of appease these local psychopaths in what was a pretty abrasive atmosphere. We pulled up behind this one guy. This is fucking hilarious, dude. We pulled up behind this one guy and the big bumper sticker on his car said, my winch cable pulls out, I don't. Oh my Lord. So it was great to bump into the local alpha male of the town. Is that man married? Let's dive into who is that man. You surely cannot have a partner with a bumper sticker as aggressive as that. It's a threat. That's basically a threat to all local women that, hey, I will be blasting off inside you no matter what. That's actually something I'm really passionate about. You know what I mean? Dude, imagine your daughter's like, oh, Dad, I've finally met someone. Really nice guy. Yeah, he's a chippy. Great guy. Loves surfing. Loves the cricket. You're like, oh, wow, I'm so happy for you. Can't wait to meet him. And then the king himself pulls out. No, he doesn't pull out, I should say. He pulls up. One thing he definitely doesn't do is pull out. And he pulls up. You've looked at that sticker. You've looked at him. And he's looked you in the eye and said, mate, it's great to meet you. Heads up. I reckon we got kids on the way, okay? Read the bumper sticker, mate. We're going to have a little one running around at Christmas, okay? This is actually a huge part of my identity. That'd be the funniest thing, just seeing that guy, like, he finally gets a girlfriend and he's just, you just see him really sadly, like, scraping the sticker off one Saturday morning. And it's like, yeah, mate, you there was a fork in the road moment in your life and I think you've chosen the right way. You know, imagine putting the foot down with the missus and saying, look, all right, I'm happy to give up fucking footy with the lads on the weekend. You know, I'm happy to stop going to the pub as much. Happy to go for walks. Happy to ease up on the beers, but I will not remove the bumper sticker that lets everyone know I refuse to pull out. What a man. What a man. I would have loved it if I had microphones available and just knocked on that guy's window and just said, mate, I'm sorry. I don't know anything about you, but I know that you are no doubt one of the great alpha males. It will be an all-time honor to have you on my podcast, you know? Oh, yeah. So it was a fucking great weekend. We just basically, I don't want to speak out of school, but we got pretty drunk the whole weekend, just doing comedy, having fun. Me and Rowan blazed pretty hard. Rowan blazed exceptionally hard, okay? Like, I woke up at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, and Rowan's rolling up his third joint. And I'm like, mate, you know, I enjoy this shit as much as the next guy, but we're not Snoop Dogg, okay? You ever smoked weed at 10 a.m. and been late to the party? You ever smoked weed at 10 a.m. and been the nerd in that group? Wild stuff. Wild stuff. We were... Friday night show was sick. I was closing it out. I was having a great set. All the boys were killing. And then I chose to burn a guy in the front row for no reason. Okay, he brought like his own cheese platter, which was very cute. And he was on a little date, and I'm going great. There was no need for me to antagonize this man. But the thing is, I get too arrogant on stage. You know, potentially why that bloke tried to flog me the other week. Plus, again, in this situation, I'd had like 4 beers. And I go, oh, mate, you got your cheese platter there. I go, keep it away from me. I'm lactose intolerant. And then he's like, oh, sorry about that. I go, nah, I'm actually just allergic to nerds. Which... you know, the crowd didn't appreciate because Pat had already spoken to this guy. He was actually a really lovely guy. So torpedoed my set there and then had to sort of claw my way out of a hole that was my own doing. So lessons learned, instant karma as per. Great times, great classic hits. We went to the pub after. It was fucking cranking, dude. I was speaking to a particularly lovely woman at the pub. And how's this? She goes, I just broke up with my boyfriend yesterday. So immediately you're like, oh, fuck, this is terrible timing. And then she goes, but he lived in France. So I'm thinking, oh, that doesn't count. I'm thinking, what? No, that's not a boyfriend. You got a pen pal, babe. You know, like, what are you talking about? In France, I mean, we've all done long distance, but I think at what point, how many thousands of kilometers do you fucking draw a line, you know? So that was wild. I was like, oh, you know, sorry to hear. She's like, oh, yeah, he seemed distant, really. I was like, oh, really? He seemed distant, did he? What was it about the 12,000 kilometers that made him seem a little distant, you know? But yeah, so struck out there, all's well that ends well. Went back with the lads and rewatched 360 versus Cursor, which is, I think we can all agree, a pivotal moment in Australian cultural history. Okay, where's the pub? People are talking, you know, nup to the cup. We got to change the date. And you know, I'm in favor of the causes. Don't you worry about that. But I think we should have an Australian public holiday commemorating 360 versus Cursor. You know, where a myriad of white suburban teenagers who grew up heaps well off decided that they were, in fact, from the streets, myself included. So great times. The next day, we just got up, blazed, went to the beach, went to the pub in the afternoon, having beers, doing shows. Oh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And yeah, one hilarious yarn I told about Pat at the Airbnb. So Pat had like the set of his life on Saturday night. I've never seen anything like this. I've seen Pat do this before, but it's just like, it's just where this cunt will just go absolutely nuts. And he just did like half an hour off the rip, like no material. People were crying, dude. Like it was unfollowable. And this piece of shit pulled this on me on the homecoming tour when I was closing that. I was supposed to do like 20 minutes. And Pat did like 23 in front of me, not a single bit of material, just killing. And then it's really hard to follow. I've seen Pat run some well-known Australian comedians off the stage in his time. He used to run the Coogee Bay Hotel and there'd be like 150 backpackers in the crowd and Pat would just be going nuts. And like some well-known Australian comedian, not to name names, but they just get their ass handed to them on a Monday night. And it was brutal to watch, dude. And Pat closed it out, thank God. Crazy set. And then we were talking about it afterwards. And this is a vintage Pat Doherty story. So this actually happened like 3 months ago. But it's so funny. Pat came up to me at Clovelly one time. And he goes, Bill, mate, geez, I've been writing so many jokes. Like he had like two notebooks. He had all these flashcards going. I'm like, fucking hell, man. I've never seen you this organized, you know? Traditionally, Pat doesn't really write anything down. Nor does he really do much material, you know? So I go, mate, I've never seen you this organized. He goes, mate, I've been writing heaps. I got all these ideas. He goes, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I go, mate, these sound great. He's got all these notes in front of him. He's very studious. And I go, mate, these sound unreal. You know, I look forward to hearing them on stage. He goes, mate, this is the most prepared I've ever been for a set. I go, mate, that's fantastic. Let's rip it. Nothing to it but to do it. You know, I was doing some new gear myself. A couple of soldiers out here testing some ideas in front of the most good-looking people you've ever seen at the Clovelly Hotel. Let's fucking rock and roll. I go up there. I do some new material. Bup, bup, bup. I can't remember how it went. So it probably went unremarkably. But that's okay. My fellow soldier, Pat Doherty, is also doing new material. Anyway, Pat is feverishly going over all his notes. They bring him up. He goes up there. He immediately just does 13 minutes off the rip. Nothing but crowd work. Does not try a single joke, be it old or new. He's supposed to do like 7 minutes. 13 minutes of crowd work. Then he goes, the only joke he did, he goes, did you guys know that whales have the second biggest dick in the ocean when I'm swimming? Thank you, Clovelly Hotel. I'm Pat Doherty. Good night. And he walked off. That was the only joke he tried, and it went for about 7 seconds. He had about 25 pages worth of notes just to do that. It was the fucking funniest thing I've ever seen. All the boys were loving it. Oh, God. And then, yeah. I just love Newcastle. Like, some of these weekends, this is one of those weekends where I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but we just had too much fun. We simply had too much fun. You know, I'd be better off just going to the pub and having some guy king hit me just for the sake of padding out 11 minutes on this podcast. But yeah, great weekend. I love Newcastle, and I'll be back again in the new year. Okay, up next, we have a news story that is so quintessentially get around me, it's not even funny. Okay, this story is a saga we have followed and will continue to follow on this podcast. From the first episode through to the end of the life of this podcast, okay? I'm not a journalist, but this is something I feel really passionate about reporting on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Michael Clarke has a new girlfriend. The King is back, okay? The King is back, light the beacons. Rohan calls for aid, you know what I mean? My God, he's done it again. Michael Clarke, his new girlfriend, Jade Yarbrough. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I also don't particularly care because this is all about the man himself. I mean, Michael Clarke's resume is insane. From Lara Bingle, the goat of wags, okay, the goat of wags. Then on to Kylie Clarke, you know, his wife, famously hotter than Lara Bingle. How he's done that is beyond me. Next up, the head of PE Nation, Pip Edwards. Stunning. A stunning woman, Pip Edwards, runs a successful activewear company. I was searching for that. And now Jade Yarbrough. Now, this woman, obviously it goes without saying, and I hate to get this blue on the podcast, but when you're talking about Michael Clarke's love life, it is very hard to sort of avoid words that are quite provocative in nature. And this is a warning. I'm about to get blue. Michael Clarke's new girlfriend, she is very attractive, dude. Very attractive. And I hate, you know, cover your ears for that one, but that's the cold, hard truth of the situation. Pip Edwards, his last girlfriend. More like Pip, who gives a fuckwards? Am I right? But I will say his new girlfriend, I don't want to be controversial. I think Pip Edwards might be hotter than his new one. Honestly, I don't even want to touch that any further than I already have. That is such a red hot thing to say because, as we know, Clarkey always goes hotter. Okay, he always has and he always will. And this Jade Bird has an interior design company, which is very on brand for Clarkey. He loves style. He's a very stylish man, Clarkey. And has anyone gone into their early 40s with more grace than Michael Clarke? Obviously, I'm talking about his beautiful salad up top. Now, I don't know. I'm sure he's got some bloody mosh power up growing this thing out, but I have not seen a silver fox to the quality of Clarkey since I watched Corey Parker on NRL 360. I mean, Clarkey's sal is unbelievable. He's doing breakfast radio at the moment. It's a fucking goddamn crime. There should be a little thing in your radio in your car that projects a little hologram of Clarkey's beautiful hair, just so you can really take in what he's saying, you know? But love this for Clarkey. It's actually Karl Stefanovic's sister-in-law, okay? So nice little alley-oop from a fellow alpha male there. Two of the great Australian men coming together. And I love Karl Stefanovic just giving Clarkey a little behind-the-back pass there, because if there's one thing we know about Michael Clarke, he does get peckish, okay, sexually. And it's just great to see. They were actually on a double date recently. What about this for a double date? Karl Stefanovic and Michael Clarke. If I'm those two women sitting across the table, I'm pinching myself. I am pinching myself, okay? These are two of the great men. If we have Kyle Sanderlands join the table, this is like, you know, this is like almost a moment in Australian history. You know what I mean? So, God, what a privilege it would have been to sit at that table and just hear those men banter, swap ideas, stories, etc. God. You know, I think in a different life, Karl Stefanovic and Michael Clarke could have swapped roles and been as successful. Okay, you're telling me Karl Stefanovic walking out at 2 for none on Boxing Day isn't going to get into his work? And fucking conversely, are you telling me Michael Clark with that beautiful grey salad couldn't easily bring Australia the stories of the day with grace and charm and the occasional bit of cheeky banter as is Karl's trademark style? Oh my God, he could. Oh my God, he could, dude. Okay, Clarkie was actually wearing a $1,200 jumper on this date. I read that. $1,200 on a fucking jumper. Okay? How good's that? That's just a little flex from the great man. If anything, he's being modest, you know, cover up the pipes. Cover up the pipes so the girls can actually focus on what he's saying. You know, between the salad, the pipes. I mean, Clarkie's looking hench these days, dude. He's looking fucking hench. So, unbelievable. Speaking of the GOAT, Kyle Sandilands, you know, prince of breakfast radio, no one swings wilder than Kyle Sandilands. And he said on his breakfast radio show that Clarkie, he was on the red carpet. So Clarkie's debuted his new bird, Jade, on the red carpet. And he was looking a bit sweaty, Clarkie. And, you know, it could have been a sweaty night. Could have been balmy. Maybe he was wearing too many layers. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. But Kyle Sandilands in his breakfast radio slot, ever the bandsman, said it looked like Clarkie had just been making love prior to coming onto the red carpet. You know, he's insinuating that Clarkie debuting his beautiful new girlfriend was sort of boot scooting her possibly in the car on the way to the event in one of the more salacious things we've ever heard a man say on the airwaves at 7:30 a.m. Now, to Kyle Sandilands, I'll say this. Firstly, mate, that's wildly inappropriate. Secondly, Michael Clark is always 35 minutes either side of a route, and don't you fucking forget it, okay? Oh, was he rooting beforehand? When's he not rooting? That's the real question, okay? The fact he had time to fucking go on a red carpet in between routes, that's the story here. Once again, Kyle Sandilands, you have missed the fucking core bit of the story itself. And Kyle actually called Clarkie live on air to confirm whether or not he had been rooting. Clarkie very wisely did not pick up. Let me tell you, you do not pick up the phone when Kyle Sandilands is calling you at 7:30 a.m. on a weekday. He's going to ask you some really weird shit, dude. You know? Last time I picked up the phone, and it was Kyle Sandilands at 7:30 a.m. on a Wednesday, he asked me if I'd ever had a threesome with midgets. And I said, Kyle, you can't say midgets anymore. That's inappropriate in 2022. And he said, but did you? And I said, stop calling me during these hours, okay? So he's a sick man, Kyle. You know, you the only time you want to pick up a call from Kyle Sandilands is like after like 7 p.m. when he's getting on the bags, pushing that little heart of his to the absolute limit, okay? But if you get a call from Kyle Sandilands at 7 a.m., just like Clarkie did, do not pick up. Very wise from Clarkie. So we love to see it. Congrats, Michael Clark. Congrats to Jade. My advice to Jade would be enjoy the ride, babe. Okay? Enjoy the roller coaster. Enjoy being the unofficial first lady of Australia. Okay? And I would say just smell the roses while you can, because if we know anything about Clarkie, he does get peckish. Okay? So when the time comes for the great man to upgrade, take it with some grace. Okay? Take it with some grace. Anyway, up next on the pod, from one icon to another, what do we love on this podcast? We love rugby league boxing, dude. I fucking find this shit so funny. And this is maybe one of the funniest fights ever made. Okay, as we know, the king of CTE, the Crimson Chin, Paul Gallen, you'll often see him maybe screaming at a bag of flour in your local Coles. Poor guy thinks it's a fucking, he's getting a parking fine when he's nipped down to the shops to buy some fruit. I mean, his brain has been scrambled beyond belief, and we wish him the best. But the king of CTE himself, coming off his last fight, where he boxed Ben Hannett and Justin Hodges in one night, he beat Ben Hannett via decision and then knocked out Justin Hodges. Okay? So he knocked out Justin Hodges after already going the distance with another man. This is crazy. All right? The Crimson Chin. He can't be stopped. He's the toughest man alive. And now they've just made Justin Hodges versus Paul Gallen with no fight beforehand. I mean, the thing I love about this footy boxing is they don't care about the demand. They don't care about whether or not these matchups make any sense whatsoever. They go, people want to see the king of CTE in there, and they don't care who it's against. And they're smart. I mean, the guy literally knocked out Justin Hodges after fighting a full fight. And this time they go, we're just going to have you fight Justin Hodges with no fight beforehand. I'd just love to be in the boardroom. I'd love to be in the boardroom when this was greenlit. This is literally insane to me, dude. Like, don't we have like commissions in Australia? I think Justin Hodges might be the new king of CTE. It goes under the radar how much Justin Hodges has been chinned in the last 2 years. It's actually quite impressive. You know, Justin Warm Body Hodges is just, he just gets the call. He goes, who's it against? Don't care. What, just give me the gloves and a sandwich and I'm there. Okay. So Gallen will be even fresher this time against Justin Hodges. I look forward to them faking some more beef at the press conference. And Australian boxing is on to the next, you know, on to the next. Mark Hunt just knocked out Sonny Bill Williams in one of the more bizarre results we've seen. I was hoping for that Sonny Bill Paul Gallen fight. But never fear, because Justin Hodges is here. I'm actually scheduled to fight Justin Hodges in January next year, so I'm looking forward to it. I won't be training. He'll have 60 kilos on me in the ring, and do you know what? I'll probably still fucking win. Because if there's one thing we know in this country, it's that Paul Gallen is the toughest cunt alive, and Justin Hodges can't box. So looking forward to that. I literally can't believe they made this fight. I literally cannot believe it. Okay? So strap in, dude. Strap in. All right, legends. This week's episode of Get Around Me is brought to you by Manscaped. Lads, it's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts, whether it's for a friend or the friend in your pants. Lol. You can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you, lads. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and use code Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, for free shipping and 20% off. Lads, this summer, you simply must have your package looking unbelievable. You want people to look at your package and think, if this was a game of cricket, I would bat first. You know? It's a bat first deck, okay? Ball's not going to do too much. Beautiful, well maintained, well manicured. You send the boys out and we'll be none for 300 at tee. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It has everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling performance package plus ultra premium body wash, ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, and deodorant. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer and the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue cleaning the snow out of your driveway. Dude, they're fucking going in on this Christmas stuff. There's also a 4000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph. You know, you'll be well-groomed, etc., etc., etc. Because it's all happening, dude. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code Darcy. Manscaped, dude. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays, lads, hey? If you're into Christmas-themed ads, that's about as good as it gets. Code word Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y, all capitals, manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Get amongst it and support the people that support this pod. All right, up next, a couple of red flags to get through here. These have been sent in. This first one is just, this is a really great red flag. This was sent in, red flag, 60-year-olds who vape. What are you doing, lads? If you're over the age of 50 and you vape, like, you've missed the point, I think. because this is not your fight. Okay? Vaping is my generation's cross to bear. We'll take it from here, okay? 60-year-olds vaping, that would be like if a bunch of 25-year-olds tried to keep racism alive. You know what I mean? It's like you do your thing, we'll do ours. We each have our roles to play. And you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to strap up a bunch of 21-year-olds and send them to Vietnam. Times have changed. Move on. Do your thing. Live in your generation. It's killing the vibe of some of these old fellas as well. I saw this at the pub the other day when I went down for the Cambosis fight. You know, I'm not traditionally at the pub at like 11:30 on a Sunday. That's when your real fucking alcoholic warriors are there. And before, you know, these blokes, they're punting, they're sinking schooners, Winnie Blues. It's a fucking vibe, you know? Now punting on the dogs with schooners and a mango passion fruit. It's like, what? Something's off, you know? Come on. It's like, do what got you to the dance. You've been pumping cigarettes for 40 years, looking tough as fuck. Now you've got a little highlighter yellow thing hanging out of your mouth. It's just, you know what I mean? It's off. There's something off. Shane Warne didn't used to bowl pace and open the batting. He bowled leg spin because that's what he does. And if you're 63 years old, you should not be vaping. You should be fucking smoking Winnie Reds and being subtly homophobic, okay? Play your role. So I just worry about it. I think, honestly, if you've smoked for 30 years, you won't be able to handle vapes. There's way too much nicotine in vapes and they never fucking end. You'd just be vaping your fucking head off. You know what I mean? It's just not as much of a vibe. Because if you're gonna smoke a Winnie Red, that's almost that little puff of smoke, that odor, that's also like a warning that, hey, it's fucking 1976 over here, okay? So if you come to the table, get ready for some pretty not so subtle racism, okay? But if I come over and you're passion fruiting yourself senseless and then you want to be homophobic off the rip, that's a bait and switch, mate. What the hell's going on here? You know what I mean? So I'd say to any 60-year-old vaping, you can vape if you want, but you're going to have to bloody, you've got to bring the rest of you to 2022 as well. Otherwise, just keep smoking Winnie Reds and leave the vaping to us, okay? Because it is a sickening habit. And it's my generation's cross to bear, not yours, lads, okay? Not yours. So, huge red flag, 60-year-olds that vape. Massive, okay? I saw like a 75-year-old vaping, and it's like, how are you even alive? You know what I mean? So, good one there. Next red flag, if you have more than 4 cars parked on the property at any one time, and if one of those cars is on the front yard, this is a huge red flag. If you guys aren't a drug dealing conglomerate, I will buy a nicer hat than this one and I'll fucking eat it, dude. Okay? 4 dodgy Commodores out the front of a weird looking house. Blokes in TNs milling around. Either you guys are extremely social or you're criminals. Okay? And I think the rat's tails would tell us that it is the latter. Whatever, I'm not saying, all right, let's say you're not drug dealers. I mean, you are, but let's say for the sake of argument, you're not. But at the very least, you're selling like counterfeit stationery or something. You're selling like fake 2B pencils out of the garage. We've got 4 fucking Commodores that barely run, and like 10 p.m. at night, they'll all speed off at the same time. Okay, this is a huge red flag, and you should definitely contact your local police station. You know, a lot of people popping in for coffee at this house, popping in for 4 minutes at a time. That's pretty bizarre, you know? But I don't know, dude. Our old neighbors at the Lad Pad, I reckon the only reason they never called the cops on us was because they were running something dodgy out of their fucking garage. They used to have like trucks and cars pulling in and out all the time. I walked past one time at night after a gig, like 11 p.m., and the garage was open and they had like industrial freezers in there. I don't know if they were selling like body parts and shit. I don't know. It was pretty fucking creepy, to be honest. But yeah, I think that's why they never called the cops on us, because they never gave us any trouble and we were terrible neighbors. But it was like, mate, cars in and out all day, dude. All fucking day. There's nothing dodgier. It's such a red flag if you see 4 or more cars parked on a property. I'm calling the police. It's a red flag and there's nothing you can do about it. 2 great red flags there this week. The second one is actually probably not as banterous as it looked on paper. You know, it's more just identifying and outing local criminals. But, you know, what do we love on this podcast? We love banter. What do we love more than banter? Justice. Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Okay, now to finish us off, we have The Project. The Project is the segment where we celebrate Australian talent killing it here and abroad. Now, before we get into The Project, in fact, no, I'm going to do this the other way around. This week on The Project, we have country music duo Seaforth. These are the blokes I saw last night. They fucking rip so hard. They're Northern Beaches lads as well. And get into them. They're massive in America. Fucking there was like 800 people at their gig last night. They're big here as well. But they're massive in America, massive in Nashville. They've got like a song with Jordan Davis. And they opened for Luke Combs at Wembley. What? What? Might have been the O2 Arena. Still crazy. Still fucking crazy. And these guys are fucking killing it. This is what The Project is all about. So I actually went to school with these lads. I played soccer with one of them. And, you know, I don't want to speak out of school about his ability, nor mine, but I think it was for the best. We both went into the arts, okay? So these boys went to high school with him. One of them, Tom, got like a record deal in like when he was like 16. He went off to fucking LA or something. Then Mitch went on The Voice when he was like 20. Both of these things didn't go. Like Mitch was on Seal's team on The Voice. So, you know, as we know with Seal, he's not really interested in progressing your singing career unless he can have sex with you. So didn't pan out there. And then the boys started doing, they became a duo, but they weren't doing country. They were doing like sort of pop covers. And then they started doing country music and everyone's like, what the fuck? A couple of boys from the Northern Beaches of Sydney doing country music? What are you lads doing? And they started going to Nashville to write stuff and going back and forth for a couple of years. And then they did a big showcase in Nashville. I guess they have like these industry showcases over there. And apparently you got to do like five of these things before, you know, you get a meeting with one at like, you know, Sony Records or whatever. But the boys rip so hard playing originals that they got offered two record deals off the rip of one showcase. And now they've got an EP and an album out. Fucking crank so hard. Some of my personal favorites, Good and Gone, Taking Your Picture, Breakups, Magic. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's a lot of good stuff in there. It's very country in that, like I said before, one song, we're blazing, we're drinking, we're laughing. The next song, oh God, she's gone. Okay? So there's something for everyone. There really is something for everyone. It's spelled Seaforth. They named the duo after the suburb they grew up in, which is fucking cool. And they're just great. They're on an Australian tour right now. It actually just ended. So potentially I've fucked up the plug here, but I'm telling you, great country music duo, straight out of Sydney. Sydney City into Nashville. What's doing, babe? You know? What the fuck is doing? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So check them out. They're absolutely fantastic. And then just to finish us off here, I just want to briefly talk about the Australian cricket team. I know you guys don't like cricket, but I just want to bloody talk about it, you know? Dude, if honestly, if the great cricketer didn't exist, I would just have a cricket podcast. But theirs is great. I'm not going to do one better than theirs. You know what I mean? Fuck, like, it's done. You know, I feel like the great cricketer is so good that it's just like, there's no point even going into that space. So whatever, I'd like to briefly talk about cricket for 7 minutes, and here we go. So the Australian cricket team is copping all sorts of heat at the moment because of our poor T20 World Cup campaign. Now, I don't particularly care because if you recall on this podcast, I said I don't care then, I don't care now because I was watching our warm-up games. We were playing terribly. Finchie was batting four. You know, I know Finchie got some runs in the end, but too little too late for the great man. You know, we played terribly in the warm-up games and people are like, oh, what do you think is going to happen in the World Cup, Bill? I go, well, Jesus Christ, I'm just an absolute fucking idiot in a bucket hat in his bedroom, but we're playing terribly in the warm-up games. I would suggest we will continue to play terribly. You know, when you're getting pumped in the warm-up games and you don't even know like the combinations and the roles people are supposed to play. We had Cameron Green open the batting in two games. He wasn't even part of the World Cup squad. What is the point of that? You know, I may as well go out there and just take the new ball in some of these warm-ups if they're just an absolute piss take. You know, let me take the new ball and fucking bat six as a pinch hitter in the warm-up games, because they clearly don't matter at all. I'm not surprised. We played terribly in the warm-ups. We continued to play terribly in the World Cup. We still won 3 out of 4 games, which it should be, that should be noted. But, you know, that's not good enough in this tournament format. And here's the thing. If only there was a coach available, maybe some guy who identifies as a samurai, maybe if there was some sort of psychopathic disciplinarian with a proven track record of winning tournaments as an Australian cricket team coach, maybe he had won an Ashes series, maybe if he'd even won the very tournament we were trying to win himself, maybe if there was some sort of a psychopath from Western Australia with a proven coaching record, maybe we could have had a shot in this tournament. But unfortunately, that man does not exist. Okay, so until we find an Australian cricket coach who maybe the players don't absolutely froth on him, but they respect him and he gets the best out of them and he has a clear plan with clear roles and, you know, he's a bit out there, he's a little bit crazy, but he gets the job done. Until we find someone like that, you know, we'll have to see. We will have to see. But real shame we couldn't find maybe like a Justin Langer type character. He would have been great. If we could have had Justin Langer as the national coach, I just think that would have been, I mean, this is all hypothetical, obviously. I'm, you know, this is a comedy podcast. I'm being facetious. You know, this is like when you're talking with your friends, like, oh, how cool would it be if, like, you know, you had Steve Waugh batting 3, Steve Smith batting 4 in the same team, and Justin Langer could be coach. You know, I'm just mucking around, obviously. Just being a bit of a silly billy. And, you know, don't see any situation where we could have had Justin Langer as the head coach of the national team. So failing that, win some, you lose some. On to the next. Glenn Maxwell said he didn't really care about the World Cup. He said he didn't care that they were out of the tournament. They'll just go to the next one. Which, you know, Maxi, I'm a huge fan, but that might have been part of the problem, brother. Oh, how good's a team who didn't turn up at all, really failed to play their individual roles, and there was a lack of intent from the lads, which, you know, I'm fine with. You know, who am I to tell them how to play? But how could, for a team that hasn't turned up all tournament, for what, like, one of the main guys to come out and be like, I honestly don't care. Oh, we fucking love you, Maxi. We bloody love you, mate. So, yeah, I don't know. Work it out for yourselves, lads. You wanted Andrew McDonald as your coach so you could all fucking hold hands and get coffees when you wanted to and eat toasted sandwiches on Coogee Beach. Well, guess what, lads? Time to face the music, I reckon. But bants aside, I'm still pumped for the test summer. Andrew McDonald, you're on notice, brother. You're fucking on notice, okay? So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. At this stage, I am honestly keeping closer track of Marcus Stoinis' dating life than I am the Australian T20 team, okay? But yeah, those are my feelings. We miss JL. We miss the intensity. We miss the samurai, okay? We miss the samurai. Anyway, catch you later. Rowan is on the second half of the pod as per. And live pod December 2nd. Check that out. Sydney, December 2nd. It's going to be so sick. I've got 3 amazing guests lined up and some fucking cool shit planned. And come along, dude. Come along. Way too long, way too long. Yeah, and I can see the ground now. Way too gone, way too gone. All right, legends. Welcome back, dude, to yet another second half of Get Around Me. Whatever this is, it continues to bang. Rowan Arneil joins us yet again. Rowan, how you going?
Not bad.
Mate, as understated as ever. The thing I like about you, Rowan, is you make sure we are starting this podcast uphill.
Uphill.
Every single time.
Well, I could have been more honest and been like, quite shit.
I think if you were to come in full of energy, it would seem so fake and so hollow that it would just be untenable.
It wouldn't work. No.
Picture this. Imagine you say, what a time to be alive, which is one of my catchphrases.
Is that one?
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just sound like a liar.
I reckon that sounded quite good, actually.
Really?
What a time to be alive.
It sounds drenched in irony for me. Like you do, in fact, not want to be alive. You almost say it more like puzzlingly. You're like, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. It is a questioning.
Yeah. But, mate, fantastic time to be alive today. Cranking weather.
Mm.
What is doing... Okay, I don't want us to sort of jump into 13 minutes of weather bants. But I got to say, the East Coast has a lot to answer for, dude.
Mm.
Last night, I'm out the front having a beer. Jumper and jacket, November 2nd.
Freezing cold.
Freezing fucking cold. It feels like Melbourne in June out there, dude.
It's Melbourne Cup week, mate. What's going
Melbourne
on?
Melbourne Cup week.
It should be beautiful every day.
When does summer start? Are we in summer?
I think technically, yeah. I'm not
December,
sure.
December, January. No, I think summer hasn't started yet.
Summer hasn't started. Well, there we go.
Well, it should be at the very least revving up.
Mm. The wind has been cutting through our area.
Oh, dude. And here's the thing. When you pay as much rent as we do, you don't expect wind.
No, bro.
For the amount of rent we pay, brackets, not you, you live with your mum and dad, but for the amount of rent I pay, I should be able to click my fingers and the wind fucking stops.
Mm. Until recently, yeah. I would have been furious at this wind.
Yeah.
Now I have no real reason to.
Dude, sometimes we forget to close the windows and the wind gets in my apartment. And I'm like, hey, you didn't pay any rent for this apartment. Wind? You piece of shit.
Can you tell me and Billy have had pretty uneventful weeks?
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. We should come clean. We have no notes. Dude, we both looked at each other like, I was expecting you to bring the heat for some reason.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I've kind of had a bit of an off-kilter week, to be honest.
Me too. I don't want to speak out about my mental health on the podcast, but I did try to get back into Zoe 101 last night at about 10 p.m.
Bit of head noise this week.
Little bit of head noise this week.
It hasn't gotten to the part where I'm very critical of myself. It's still at the stage where I'm very critical of others.
Oh, okay. I think I might be a day ahead of you.
I'm still very critical of others, and there's a long list of people that need to quit doing comedy in Sydney.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A list has been gathering while I'm away.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, Rowan. Mate, I don't want you to sort of give me a toxic reputation in the stand-up scene any more than you already have on this podcast. We spoke for 35 minutes about a minor altercation I had with another comedian. But here's the thing. Is there a minor altercation with another comedian? Because you shouldn't really be having any altercation.
No.
Unless I, like, sort of insult one of your family members in front of you. Or something really overt to warrant a physical reaction.
Well, he is the more toxic comedian by far.
Well, I mean, you know. Whatever, I don't want to sort of... I imagine there's a beating coming my way already, so I don't want to add to that, but I don't want to add a fifth punch to what will no doubt be one of the more vigorous beatings I've ever received in my life. I'm going to be 0-2 officially by the end of the summer. I'm shattered.
I'm 0-2 as well. That's my standings. And I've never even... I was thinking about this the other day. I've never got any, like, practice in fighting because I always go down so early.
I've only been in one fight and I just got, like, chinned 5 times and that was it.
Yeah, I've been in 2 and both people just like smacked the shit out of me and I didn't know what was happening.
Oh, dude, 100%. But what can you do? Mate, speaking of Manly though, I had such a Manly moment today. So here's the thing with me and Rowan. We're not going to sugarcoat it. No matter how rat-baggy this podcast presents, you know, we're recording in the ivory tower of the northern beaches of Sydney, okay? Mm. So, you know, it's been great. Love living here. I will say, I had such a Manly moment today. Dude, so I'm walking around like, in between Shelley and Manly Beach, dude, that is paradise.
So nice.
That is paradise, dude. And I was walking along and I saw this woman. She's just stunning.
Mm.
Absolutely stunning. I go like, this is fucking crazy. And she's almost just like, she's like just sort of milling around. And then like, And then I'm like, all right, you better like stop staring. And then I like sort of snap out of it. I look, it's a full blown photo shoot. She's like a model.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, didn't see the cameras. And I'm like, dude, you don't get that in Western Sydney.
You don't, no. No, you can stumble along a lot of people Instagramming or modeling constantly.
I guess the line has never been thinner.
Yeah.
You really just won like $800 lens away from Instagrammer to model.
Mm. You're one just kind of weird skincare routine away from it as well.
Oh, dude, 100%. I actually got my got some new headshots today.
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't get them done. I got them back today.
Oh, really? How are you looking?
Mate, I got to say, thank God for Photoshop.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, nice. Because the originals, and here's the thing, the photography was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But the originals, you know, I'm an average bloke with average looks. I don't often have like a $5,000 camera capture me in like every fucking pixel of my face. And so when I got the fucking B-roll back straight away, it was confronting. Mate, let me tell you, if you're a 6 out of 10 in real life, you're a fucking hard 5 on a $10,000 camera.
You look so hungover. Like,
dude, you look pale. Like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I look so fucking pale. Mm. It's unbelievable. I look like a ghost. Mm. Like a dry ghost.
Oh, that's good. My one, I got headshots.
Do you even have any headshots?
Yeah, some lady, I forgot what her name is, from ages ago, not even that long ago. But I walk in and she's got two people who have just been in there, and she hands me a microphone, and I'm like,
oh no, you went to one of these. Is this one of these where you've like got the microphone and with your other head, you're like, well, what's happening?
That's what I was fighting for about an hour. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I was already guard up.
Dude, I have to say the Jack Drews joke. It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard. I know you've heard it a million times.
So good.
In fact, McGowan just told it to me on the Mug Off the other day again. But there will just never be a better joke regarding this topic. Dude, Jack Drews has this joke where he goes, all comedy headshots and posters fall into two categories. Either, dude, I've got no idea what's going on. Or, I know exactly what's going on. And it couldn't be more true. I went for I know what's going on in my headshots.
Yeah, good.
Because I'm not being the fucking seventh cunt on a poster looking all puzzled with his eyes going different ways like I'm a fucking magician.
Mm.
What are some of these people thinking in the studio?
I don't know. I think people like looking baffled. I don't know. But yeah, also, what magicians are often in the I know what's going on.
Yeah, magicians are in the same thing, but I don't know why, like, to me, stand-up comedy is so cool, but fuck, we try hard to make it look lame as shit. Like, you just see a comedy poster, and it's like, this looks like every comedian, it's like for fucking disabled pensioners to come to this show. Every comedian looks like baffled and confused.
Yeah.
Or maybe like they have a learning disability.
Can someone please find my dick on like a poster? And you're like, all right, dude.
Here's the thing, dude. If you come and see Billy Darcy and you hate it, mate, I'll go in on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would hate to think that someone's not seeing me because of what a nerd I look like on the poster.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So with the woman, she eventually... Oh, yeah. She at one point she's like, "What about do like a little finger gun?" And yeah. I was like, "I can't." And she's like, "Just try it." And I was like, "Fine." So it's me doing a finger gun. So I was doing that. I did my little finger gun, then got some other photos, and I don't know. I just let her do most of it, but just like wouldn't do any shit that I found embarrassing.
Also, here's your photo shoot immediately. You are just deadpanned, like next to like a fucking 1970s beach toilet block. Job done. Yeah. Any headshot of you showing emotion is false advertising.
So got the fucking gunshot. And then she posts that photo on Instagram. And I'm just stoned at my old apartment. And I just see it. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, she posted it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof. Of you finger gunning.
Of me finger gunning. And then I messaged her and was like, yo, I got enemies. Take that down. Please. I have people that hate me and I hate them. I don't need them to have fodder. For God's sake.
Oh, my God, dude. And here's the thing. If there's one man on the planet who couldn't pull off a finger gun, I am looking at him.
It's also someone that clearly doesn't want to do the finger gun and is doing it for the sake of the photographer.
Yeah. It's like, be in the room, babe. Be in the room. Don't ask a man who's actively stoned in a photo shoot to put up a finger gun.
I'm like, just fucking please do something that I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Dude, I just said to the photographer for my first proper headshots, I was like, just tell me exactly what to do. Because, mate, I'm not a fucking model.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much shit involved in stand-up where people are like, oh, yeah, you can just do this. And it's like, well, if it's not stand-up, I can't do it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, here's the thing, mate. I've got a birthday thumbs up. Yeah. And maybe if I'm literally blind, a shucker that I will regret in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And apart from like a genuine, I'm happy to be here smile, I don't have any looks.
Mm.
I don't have any fucking, you know, trademark faces. The Rock can just go bam, 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 hit his looks. I don't have any looks, mate. I'm looking in the fucking look armory. We got no fucking weapons back here, mate. All I've got is Billy Darcy's birthday and that's it.
Mm. Yeah, I got nothing either. I've got less than you.
I would, because you don't even have smiling.
Well, it's hard to smile when you're getting fucking headshots taken. And she didn't set me at ease at all.
Mate, you need to get the same headshots as like the lead singer of like an emo band. Like that's your vibe.
I just want a nice casual photo. I'm having a good time.
Oh, dude, so good. But yeah, it's a fucking nightmare getting headshots, dude. Like, my ones I got last year, not my first ones. But the first headshot I ever had, actually, you took.
Yeah, yeah.
And that worked out great. We took them for free. And we were at a gig in Gosford years ago on tour. And Pat had like this $5,000 camera for some reason.
He rented it from his like weird journalism school he was going to at the time.
That's right. Yeah. Pat at university. That's just fun me out. But
yeah, me too.
So Pat brought like this $8,000 camera on tour just to film us eating shit in coastal towns.
And occasionally looking up at a rest stop.
Dude. Yeah. Occasionally like a nice photo of a beach in between footage of us eating shit. Dude, the funniest thing about that tour, and then I was going to say Rowan took my headshot on that camera backstage one night, but we had no lighting, so we just turned all the lights off and did the flash. It was actually pretty smart.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It came out cool. But, mate, the funniest thing about that tour, this is the Young Guns tour we always talk about, but this is a fresh story, is that, dude, we must have filmed 40 hours of like... what is it? Not like behind the scenes content.
Yeah.
Tour diary content, interviews, you know, raw footage, you know, stuff not happening during the gigs. And there was some hilarious stuff in there, mate. If we had that footage, there was some hilarious stuff in there. And Pat put it all on his girlfriend's laptop. Then she dumped him and he never got any of the footage back because he was too scared to go over there and get it.
I think he dumped her.
Did he dump her? Yeah. Well, you should have got the footage back then.
I think it's scarier.
What's worse, if you need something off a laptop? Also, it's a huge transfer. There must have been like 100 gigs. So it's like
12 hours of catching up.
Yeah. Then you got to mill around while the files are copying.
Mm.
Here's what I say. I say, babe, you know, we lost. No hard feelings. There's about 43 hours of raw footage I'd love to get off your laptop. What do you say? Yeah.
There's a Billy Darcy interview in Coffs Harbour that we need. Yeah. We surely need it.
Sorry, Billy caught a particularly hilarious riff outside of Coffs Harbour and it would be a crime if the world didn't see it.
Also about 12 minutes of George bombing.
Oh, dude, so much raw footage of George Pettifer bombing. It's unbelievable.
Anyone literally outside of the city centre of Sydney or Melbourne just doesn't respect him at all.
Dude, you swing too wild on this podcast. I feel like I have to kick... Like, George is our friend.
Yeah, that's why. But that's true. He would agree.
I mean, he would agree. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that. I think we could have easily fucking progressed with this conversation without doing a massive drive-by on our friend George Pettifer. And speaking of, mate, I'm glad you brought this up, or with your actions, because I feel like we need to talk about what happened last week.
How much did you have to cut?
I had to cut like 11 minutes for the podcast.
Bro, it was a Friday.
Yeah. Wait, guys, we will no longer be recording on Fridays. We had 2 beers and just started trashing the fuck out of like kind of a prominent comedian. And a couple of others got clipped up as well. There was a bit like, it seemed so banterous while we were doing it.
Yeah, I imagine listening back to it, you'd be like, oh, this is actually...
Well, it was like banterous, and then it was banterous, and then I was like, oh, this is like 5 minutes straight of us just trashing this guy, his career, his habits, like...
his addictions.
Yeah. Horrendous, dude. Absolutely horrendous. So yeah, I just need you to rein it in a little bit.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard when it's not your podcast because you feel like it's not going to come back to me even if I say it. It's his gear.
Yeah, exactly.
He goaded me into it.
Yeah, exactly. You're loving the word goaded, hey? You haven't stopped saying
ever since. Ever since you got yelled at, it's just amazing,
dude. I gotta say, it's good to get fucking just sprayed the fuck out every now and then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good to be
humble. Get back in your box a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good to be humbled when it's like far away from you a bit.
Yeah, 100%. You want to be humbled, but not too humbled.
Yeah, not too recently.
Yeah,
a few weeks away.
Yeah, now it's like 3 weeks old. I'm back. But dude, so when I was just talking about that chick in Manly, this was the Manly moment I was actually leading up to, but shock, we caught a hot riff. this is a vintage Manly moment. This is how hot women in Manly are. Dude, so then I go to Coles afterwards. And beautiful day. And there's just this stunning woman just milling around like the fucking drinks aisle. Mm. Okay? And I'm like, babe, you know, either get a Gatorade or don't. You know what I mean? But you're taking up real estate. Like, she's like looking around, like, and she's kind of dressed weird. And I'm like, oh, I realize she works at Coles.
Oh, right.
Dude, a genuine 10 working at Coles.
Yeah, that'll happen as well.
That's how you can tell it's an attractive area. Not even Woolies. Coles. I think you can honestly tell how attractive an area is by their hottest Coles employee.
Yeah, that's probably true. They get, yeah, let's... Yeah, I guess it's during the week right now and it was midday. Yeah, she was a great age, Billy. This wasn't a high school student working after work.
Oh, no, she's like 37.
Oh, nice.
Nah, probably like 32. I don't know. I didn't really clock her age. Like 30s. Mm. Definitely 30s. Mm. But yeah, no, I'm not. No, obviously under 18-year-olds, I'm not talking about them, Rowan, you fucking grub.
Well, I was hoping to catch you out in it. It could have been a flight attendant. A lot of them...
Oh,
a lot of flight attendants got hit up with Coles and Woolworths jobs.
Mate, post-COVID. Honestly, this chick was like real attractive and put together, like 34. Dude, she could totally be a flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
Yes. Okay.
My mate Mark, he's working at the Woolies factory where you briefly worked.
Is he there now?
No.
But oh, this was years ago. Yeah,
during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And then just like 30... hot blonde women showed up one day. They'd been like teamed up with like a recruitment agency from Qantas when they all lost their jobs. And he said, you've never seen so many hot people depressed in one location.
Dude, yeah, well, I mean, you can add another one to the list when I started there a few months later.
Not quite the same situation. A broke comedian.
Oh, dude, fucking oath. But, mate, what else is going on? We can't get into a fucking loop about novelty boxing. That'll kill us. We need a siren for like when we go on a crap riff. Yeah. We're going to do this podcast with no notes. We need like a ring-a-ding-ding for like when I'm just like, sometimes I'm looking at you being like, mate, get out of this. But you don't seem to see my looks.
Well, sometimes I'm looking at you being like, what are you talking about?
Well, I think last week we did fucking 12 minutes on Shooter Williamson onto 12 minutes about Andrew Tate. Mate, by the seventh minute of Andrew Tate, I'm laser beaming the fuck out of you, brother. But I've got too much respect for the art form to stop the broadcast. Mm. Even though we're not recording live, I could easily stop this and say, hey, Rowan, let's jump onto another topic. That's not how we're bred here, okay? This is the airwaves. Triple M want to see us, how we handle the heat when the mics are hot.
Yeah. 7 more minutes, we're going to find gold.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, we sent in 45-minute demo tapes to Triple M to try and do like 2-minute radio breaks.
17 minutes in, there's a nice line, man.
Dude, at what point do you think you take it personally? As two of the only toxic straight white males that do stand up in this country, at what point do you take it personally that we don't have a slot on Triple M?
Yeah, to be from the 80s generation where it's just like being over 6 foot and doing stand-up comedy, it's just like ba 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 ba. You're just climbing.
Oh, if we're doing stand-up in the 80s, we're doing breakfast and afternoons on Triple M.
Oh.
We got both slots. God forbid one of us go on the footy show. It's all over Red Rover. Dude, I've said this before, but never on the podcast, I don't think. But take me back. If I can exist as a stand-up comedian in any era, take me back to 1991 when it was red hot to be a straight white male.
Oh, red hot.
Dude, imagine you're just like the 12th straight white male to walk on to like a booked TV show for comedians. And everyone's like, yeah, I see no problem with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's load up another truck of fucking the same white guy over and over again. We're giving out opportunities to every straight white guy who's ever picked up a microphone. And there's you and me going, oh boy.
We both just get rich off the first 4 minutes of stand-up we ever wrote.
Yeah, dude, you do the first 4 minutes of stand-up that kills in clubs on the footy show.
Yeah.
Maybe Hey Hey It's Saturday. You take your notebook, light it on fire, and then play arenas for the next 20 years.
If everything goes bad, you're on radio in Adelaide.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you do breakfast radio in Adelaide for 450K and you have a series of children's books. That's absolute like, oh no, my life is over.
Mm.
That's worst case scenario for an adequate white comedian in 1991. Dude, the other thing about last week that we did that we can never do again is I took a piss halfway through the episode and when I came back, the mics were still running. And dude, it was not chill what we were talking about. We were absolutely taking names. And then I was like, dude, I have to, like, if I didn't fucking take that out, it's over for us. There were several podcasts that got burned.
People in positions of power?
Not even,
yeah.
Oh, people doing better than us.
Yeah. That's the hard thing about holding a microphone and forgetting that it's there.
Yeah, I know.
70% of what you say is shit talk.
100%, dude. Mm. I mean, that's the thing with the airwaves. They're unforgiving. But what were we going to say? Oh, yeah, mate. You told me what this one thing you wanted to say. You did an open mic. This sounds like a fucking nightmare. Tell this story.
It was a nightmare. I've been in a rut ever since. I've been in a three-day
rut. Is this what has triggered your spiraling, mate, do you think?
Oh, it was that and then my boss telling me that I might have to go to Jindabyne. What the fuck is this world I'm living in?
You're not going to Jindabyne, mate. You've got too much unpaid gigs to do in Sydney. Yeah. If he goes to Jindabyne, mate, how's he going to do all these unpaid sevens in Sydney, okay?
It's very important. But yeah, I went to an open mic. I was killing time before picking up my girlfriend from the airport. She's getting in at 11. And there was no fucking gigs. It was Melbourne Cup night. So I just went to an open mic. And what's happening in the open mics in Sydney right now is unconstitutional, Billy.
Dude, I don't know what's going on at the open mics because every time... So before COVID, the open mic scene was an absolute... It was like a fucking farmland for fucking comedians to just go and have fun. 4 minutes, light at three.
Mm.
It was so good. Yeah, pretty much every night of the week, you could do a gig and then double up at an open mic.
Mm.
So you do your gig, do your gear, then take your new jokes to the open mic. Oh, the open mic scene has unfortunately not bounced back from COVID. All the best open mics never came back. And every time I ask a comedian in Sydney, like, mate, what are the good open mics? They're like, El Diablo.
Yeah.
El Diablo. They're like, dude, I did this one. I'm not going back, man. I'm not going back.
Dude, I was just calling all these people alcoholics at the townie.
Oh, yeah.
People doing 8 minutes. Oh,
and then, oh, that's crap.
I was just at the end of this show. I was like, I'll try out these new jokes. I wrote them on a piece of my mail. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And then 7... 20-year-old girls walk in.
Beautiful, mate.
And I was like,
you get to bomb in front of some attractive women. This is every man's dream.
I was like, at least there's going to be a bit of a crowd in there now. And they're right up the front. This is good. This is good. And then I get up there and one of them just yells, "We know you. We're Ruby's friend." And it's just like, oh, cool. It's my little sister's friend.
Sick. Oh, dude.
Well, these jokes are...
This is untenable. So now, have you started your set or are you off stage when they've said, "We know you"?
I've started my set, but I haven't really said anything.
Oh my God. So now, so you're not even doing well yet.
No, there was no doing well.
No, but I'm saying if you're like 2 minutes in and you're doing well and someone goes, "We know you," it's like, I bet you fucking do, babe.
Yeah, yeah. Copping one of them is pretty nice. Copping, it puts a lot of pressure on a set as well. You're just like, I wish no one that's ever seen my family was in this room.
I know.
I'm not going to tell my girlfriend that I was here.
Yeah, this is shameful. So here's the thing now, mate. So you got seven of your sister's friends in the front row. They've said, "We know you." You're yet to do a joke.
Mm.
Fork in the road.
Fork in the road.
You could either do the new jokes like a man, look them in the eye. Mate, they're your sister's friends. Their opinion of you should not shape the type of comedy you want to do. Or option B is you play the hits to try and rake back whatever modicum of respect they still have for you. That is no doubt slipping by the second.
Yeah, here's the thing. I still wanted to be constructive.
Yeah.
All new, baby. And it didn't
You did all new?
Yeah, it didn't go well. Oh,
congratulations, mate. I reckon I might have crumbled there.
And then the guy who went up after me, this lonely 20-year-old open micer, then he did all his old gold in front of the hot
girl. Yeah, dude, that's the play. Dude, that's a top G right there.
Yeah, that is a top G. Yeah. And then I sat outside with him afterwards and had a cigarette and explained the dynamics of why you've got to sometimes just get things out of your head and just say them on stage despite them not being funny.
You're like, "Guys, I'd just like to explain what you saw tonight." Dude, that's fucking hilarious. That is honestly a nightmare though. Dude, do you ever get this where like you're doing a gig and then someone might text you or like you run into someone at the gig? Like you're in the green room. I've had this happen a few times over the years where you're in the green room and someone goes, "Mate, I'm in the crowd. Can't wait to see you." Like someone you know, and you're just like, "What the fuck?" Now, this just became real, you know? I was trying 4 minutes about, you know, all sorts of weird shit. This is behind closed doors comedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of it is as well, I find, is when that's happened to me, I'm like, oh, now I'm fucking affiliated with some of the cunts they've already seen. Like, because sometimes...
Oh, right. So you're saying the other comedians are lame as well. They're also cramping your style.
Yeah, well, sometimes it can be pretty despicable.
Yeah, I know. Because it's almost implied you're like best friends with everyone on the lineup. Mm. They're like, "Oh, that fourth act's a weirdo." It's like, "Yeah, dude, I know."
Yeah, yeah.
I know he's a weirdo. I also am able to distinguish fucking freaks from normal people. They're like, "So what's it like getting a beer with him?" I go, "I don't know."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like that weird guy in your office. But dude, the other end of this thing is when you fucking have a killer set. A killer set. And someone messages you, "Dude, I was in the crowd for that." And you're like, "What is it, dude?" You know? That's how it is every night. Yep. That's how... Tell your friends.
Billy Darcy walking around feeling 6'4".
Yeah, dude. 6'4" indeed. But anyway, did you want to briefly talk about Love Island? Because I watched Love Island this week. And I think it's probably the last time I went in and now I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. You had a little... Because it goes for so long.
Oh my God, dude.
It's so long.
I could just talk about the logistics surrounding the show. Yeah. Because, mate, the ad breaks are like 12 minutes and you can't skip them.
Mm.
Mate, if I could skip the ad breaks, I think I'd watch Love Island on my lunch breaks.
Mm.
But you can't skip the ads. And then also, I realized I try to watch like 2 minutes of it today. And then I realized half the fun, at one point, like this fucking, this guy looks like Colby Covington in there. It's so funny, dude. Like just a real, real psycho guy. Like he got coupled off with his girl and like just immediately just starts like washing machine in this chick's mouth out. Just a real weirdo. And, but anyway, so Colby does something fucking weird as per, and you have that energy like, "Oh my God, can you believe this shit?" But then I turned around and there was no one there.
Mm.
And I realized that with the ad breaks and the fact that you're not watching it with anyone, the fun of it is watching it with the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And being like, "Mate, can you believe this shit?" And Macca being like, "Mate, I can't believe this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I realized watching it by yourself, you're not, there's no irony.
Yeah, exactly.
There you're needs- just like in it. And then I had this real like kind of sobering moment where one of the blokes is getting absolutely chopped and dropped by like the hottest chick in the room. And I was just like, I'm just watching this guy like get his heart shattered with no irony. I'm not bancy with anyone. I was like, this is just weird.
Yeah.
And then an ad break came on and I was like, I'm out. You know? Show some urgency, like Channel 9.
Yeah, you really can't. You can slip from ironically watching something to unironically watching something so easily. You need to be so careful.
I crossed that bridge and it was like all the colors were different on the show. You know what I mean? Because the first episode was so fun. It was like they're all way.
Yeah, some dudes on steroids.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, you don't know what they're like. So then you're like, oh my God, dude, as if he just said that. That's crazy that a guy just said that. And then by episode 3, you're like, yeah, this guy says that stuff.
That's why they put him on the show, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny as well how like the hierarchy will just come together immediately. Because like they're all so hot. But here's the thing. They're not. You know what I mean? On the streets, yeah, there's like 6'10", 6'10", whatever, play on. But here's the thing. Within the context of that house, there's the hot chick. And there's like the ugly chick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Even though she's not ugly. In this house, she is. And it's so funny how like you just see like the structure all just come together. Humans are so tribal.
Yeah, we love categorizing things.
Dude, I fucking love it, you know? And yeah, so unfortunately with Love Island, loved it, lost it.
Yeah, it's
gotta leave it. Sad.
3 hours a night. It's too much programming.
Well, that was the thing. I said to Macca, we turned it on at 7:30. This is Monday night. And it was 9:15. I said, mate, when does this end? Like, I can't be giving this much of my life to a program week in, week out.
Yeah, it's like all those shows. You just lock in for like 2 months and then the next one comes in.
Yeah. Because, mate, when I was a kid, there's no better feeling on the planet than when you're addicted to one of these reality shows and you're just like, you're so into Biggest Loser and it's just Wednesday and you're like, dude, Biggest Loser at 7:30 and it's just guaranteed to crank.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, when you're addicted to these shows, they just crank.
They crank.
Every episode cranks.
Dude, do you remember I used to laugh so hard. It was when Biggest Loser started doing the temptation challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Just put them in a small room with like a bunch of sausage rolls and be like, are you going to eat them? If you eat the most, you'll get immunity, but you won't know what other people ate.
Yeah, dude, that was so good when like, I like the chicks who would come in, no nonsense, and just have like one party pie and be like, I'm calling you bluff, cunts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If you want it, come and get it.
Mm.
And then there'd always just be one guy who like disgraces himself. Disgraces himself beyond belief. And it's like, then he comes out and he's like, all right, I had 4,000 calories. Yeah. And everyone else is like, we didn't touch it. It's like, if you just had one calorie, you could have won. And then you just see the commando in the background being like, I'm about to whip your ass, boy. Like, oh, dude. All right, mate. I think I'd like to pretty candidly say this has been our worst one yet.
For sure. Yeah. I think we're both kind of on a downward spiral right now.
I feel like I don't want to play the blame game, but I'm probably pointing it your way.
I would say so too. Yeah.
Do you feel like you brought it this week?
Absolutely not.
I don't think you did. Mate, you were yawning through my whole fucking Love Island thing. Like visibly yawning. Dude,
I'm so dead.
Did you get high before this?
No. Okay. I'd be a lot happier.
I'm gonna have to start drug testing you before these things.
No, I just worked a strenuous job, but man, I'm driving around the airport. I'm being a busy boy this week. I'm going to open mics. It sucks the soul out of me. I really shouldn't be allowed to go back to open mics. It's completely untenable.
Not if this is what it's going to do to the podcast, mate. Yeah, if it's between open mics and the health of this podcast,
I'm never going back. I'm never going back. This will be healthy and strong next week.
Okay. All right.
I apologize to the fans.
Yep.
Don't message me mean things.
I think, mate, to be honest, this is what accountability feels like, brother.
It is hard, yeah.
I had a guy message me today. He goes, mate, I listened to your podcast last week. To be honest, didn't love it.
Thanks for the info. Thanks for checking in.
It's so funny for someone to send in like so, like such a mild comment, but like also it's like you've still gone out of your way to send it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like you've gone out of your way to be like, not my favorite. Mm. I'd almost rather you just come in and be like, you suck. You wasted 45 minutes of my time. Because it's like, well, I can see you're fired up about this.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really seem like you give a fuck about this opinion, but you still have the time to send it.
I used to laugh about, I used to watch The Chef and the Cook on SBS Food all the time.
Yeah.
And the funniest, this is the funniest cooking show to watch because they only make dog shit food.
Yeah.
They're constantly like stuffing fish with capers or like making a tomato jelly. They did made a tomato jelly one time. And I used to constantly laugh about, I just wanted to call up SBS and complain that they make shit food.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you doing this? We've stopped making that show 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you got to hear it. You gotta fucking hear.
Yeah, you gotta hear it, dude. I think a lot of that is just like people commenting on anything. Someone has to hear this.
Yeah, it's like you could tell your workmate that you listened to a podcast and you weren't really down with it.
Yeah. Isn't that what people do? I get, mate, to be fair, I mean, I guess a lot of people don't have any mates.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I still dislike them. But, yeah. Mate, like when I tell Macca and Adzi what I think about something, to me, it's out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can spread that around in their own time. Oh, well, mate, we gave it a crack this week. Consistency is key. I will say, while this week was a genuine 6 out of 10, this weekend, me and Rowan are going to Newcastle to do gigs with the lads, and we're pretty much just going to get blind, smoke weed, do comedy, and get pretty reckless. So, yeah. Really got a good feeling about next week's episode.
And I have a feeling Billy's going to have a few beers and try and gang up on me like he always does, and then I'm going to have to come back at him on the podcast.
Mate, to be honest, if that's what it takes to like get you to show some urgency on the airwaves, then I'm very happy to do that. Whatever I have to do to fucking rouse you, you fucking dope cunt.
You went for a 2-hour walk today, you fucking piece of shit.
Oh my God. That's because I've earned financial freedom through my stand-up. Oh,
shut up.
Whatever, dude. What the fuck ever. You think I need you? This is a solo podcast. This is a solo podcast. You want to fucking come in here with this fucking devil may care, too cool for school shit?
You also, all right, you were negative from the start, let's be honest.
Was I?
Yeah,
you were negative. I was feeding you the sickest riffs.
Oh, you were feeding me nothing.
The fucking, the Manly Coles thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
You did nothing with that.
I did nothing.
You did, admit you did nothing with the Manly Coles thing.
Admit that that isn't that great.
Admit it could have been something.
It could have been something.
All right, whatever.
We got to get the fuck out of here.